Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the higher authorities, for there's no authority except from God. And those that are our authorities have been appointed by God, so that he that sets himself against the authority actually sets himself against and resists the ordinance of God. The ones that resist shall receive judgment to themselves. For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but only to evil. Dost thou desire not to be afraid of the authority? Then practice good, and thou shalt have praise from the authority. For a servant of God, the authority is for your good. But if evil, if you do evil, you practice it, then you should be afraid. For the authority bears not the sword in vain. For it is, he is a servant of God, and he actually avenges the wrath of God to all of those that do evil. That's why it's necessary to be subject, not only on account of the wrath, but also on account of your own conscience. For on this account also pay tribute, for authorities are ministers of God, continually attending to this thing. Render therefore whatever is due, to whom tribute, give tribute, to whom custom, give custom, to whom fear, fear, and to whom honor, honor. To no one owe anything except to love one another. For he that loves the other, he has fulfilled the law. God is good. All right. So what we're doing is we're looking at the scripture and then looking at how God has been restoring his church to its original New Testament pattern. In the beginning, the church was different than it is today. I would say no church today, none, are structured properly. I would say that every church today is out of order, without exception. And they're out of order structurally and so on and so forth. And there may be some things they do right, and there are some, but there's an awful lot of things that they don't do right. And today I want to look at Queen Elizabeth, the first one, not the one that's there now, but she was the daughter of King Henry. So King Henry VIII, he lived at the time of the Reformation, and he was the English king at the time of Martin Luther. And he dies in 1546. Now, Henry had a problem with wives. He had a problem with finding a wife that would give him a son. That was really important in those days because he was worried about what if he dies? What if he dies? Then there'll be nobody to follow him. And he remembers in English history the War of the Roses. That was when the Lancastrian house and the House of York fought each other. Up, down, up, down, up, down. He didn't want that chaos. So he was thinking, well, I got to have a son. And he kept marrying women that had daughters. So that was a real problem. The first one that he married was Catherine of Aragon. So Catherine of Aragon, that actually wasn't even the wife he chose. That was his brother's wife, but his brother died, and then he got her. And then he stuck with her, and he didn't dislike her, but he didn't really like her. But she happened to be the emperor's aunt. So when he said, Catherine, give me some sons, he didn't dislike her. He just didn't like the fact that she wasn't producing any sons, and he was worried about England. He was worried about keeping England. So Catherine said, gee, try my best, but it's up to God. I just can't make it. And their children were all dying. Anytime they had children, they were dying. But finally, he got a daughter out of Catherine, and that daughter, Catherine. That daughter was named Mary. Okay, so Mary, she was there, but that's a girl. And Henry wasn't happy with that, so he said, well, I want to get a divorce because you won't give me any children that live and you won't give me any boys. And so she eventually did die, but not before he got rid of her. And since the Pope wouldn't offer him a a dissolution of his marriage. The Pope could disannul the marriage because he said, look, that was my brother's wife. And, you know, the whole thing just was flawed. It really wasn't the best way. And now I've got a woman, and God is cursing me because of this woman, because I shouldn't have married her. That was wrong. It was against God, and now he won't give me a son. So you can tell Henry was a little bit confused. I'm the king now. I mean, my brother should have been king, but I'm the king. So somehow all these accidents, I don't care about them. I'm the king now. I want to have a son, and I don't want to have some more wars and stuff like we've been having. I want England to be great, and you can't be great when you're having wars. So the Pope said, sorry, I can't do it because the emperor happens to be her aunt, and I just can't go ahead and do it. I might do it otherwise, but, you know, the emperor's breathing down my neck saying, that's my aunt. So how many know that family plays a role there? And so Henry was having a real Dickens trouble. You know, what do you want? I pay you. I mean, whatever it takes, you know. Churches can be bribed. But no, I can't do it. I won't do it. So he said, well, I'm just going to, all right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll eliminate you. I'll become the Pope of England. So you can be Pope of Europe, but I'm being Pope of England. I don't want any more Pope over me. I don't want anyone stopping me from doing my job that God gave me. And if I can't have a son with her, I'll get another girl. And I kind of like Anne Boleyn. She's cute. So I'm going to get Anne, and Anne, I know Anne will give me a boy. So now, Catherine of Aragon, that was Spain. So the Spanish are going to be ticked off at him. Pope is ticked off of him, so that's Italy. And now he gets Anne Boleyn. So Anne, he likes her. And, you know, she looks like she'll probably have some boys. But she has a daughter named Elizabeth. That's not exactly a boy. And so Elizabeth still won't do the trick. And the problem with Anne is she won't marry the king until she's the queen. And she won't sleep with him because to find out if she can have a boy until she is queen. She doesn't want to just mess around because her sister did that. And she, you know, it just wasn't working out good. So she said, no, not going to do it. You divorce her or you're not marrying me. He was so mad. He was so angry. How many know that God can work with people? Here we got sinful people, people that are, you know, just doing their thing, but God can work with you. So you got God is not happy with what Henry's doing, but Henry's not happy with what God ain't doing. So it's like, you know, he got his point there. And so he's going, I don't care if she's ugly or what, just give me a son. You know, I'd like to have a son. So he finally, Mary finally does die after she is divorced. And she's really unhappy about that. She's miserable over the thing. But at least she has a daughter, Mary. Did I say it right, Catherine? Did I say Catherine? Catherine has a daughter, Mary. So Mary's first in line, and then Elizabeth would be second. And so Henry says to Anne, you got to give me a boy. You're not giving me boys. You don't remember the bargain we made? Boys. I would know that girls don't have that power to have a boy or a girl. And so anyway, this wasn't right. And a lot of women in the ancient world, thank God nobody today, they just were always trying to have boys because girls were kind of like second. I mean, this was, it's a girl, you know. And that's still true in certain parts of the world. They want boys because it's, you know, really important to have a boy because he could be the king. And so he wasn't excited about all these girl queens. He wanted a king. And anyway, so he finally can't get rid of Anne now. Anne won't divorce him, and she says, I want Elizabeth to be queen. No. Yes. No. All right, I'm going to have you killed then. I'll come up with something. You can't come up with anything. I will. So finally, Mary dies. Now he's free to move on, and Anne won't yield to him. She won't give him a boy. So he just blows her off, and he finds another one, Anne of Cleves. So fortunately, Anne of Cleves does the job and gets Edward. So now, the next king will be not Mary or Elizabeth, will be Edward, because he's a boy. And boys were favored, and they make good kings. So Henry was finally happy. So he dies in 1546, and the Lutheran Reformation was going on, and Henry didn't care anything about religion. He didn't care if he was Catholic or Protestant or what he had to be, but he got rid of the Pope, and another thing he did that was very clever, because he didn't care about religion. I mean, he was the defender of the faith. He did attack Martin Luther because he wanted the Pope on his side, but then when the Pope wouldn't give him the divorce, he didn't want to attack Luther anymore. And so he'd just switch around whatever was politically expedient for him. That's what he was going to do. So he said, okay, I've killed Anne. Thankfully, Catherine died. So now I'm going to move on to my third wife, and she gives Edward. Yahoo! Finally, the king got what he wants. Of course, he has some more wives after this because, he finds some flaw in somebody somewhere. No fun being, it'd be better to be his dog than one of his wives. I mean, it's just not a good deal at all. So Henry, when he dies, his son is only 9 years old. Well, that's a problem right there. Because when you're 9 years old, you really don't know what you want. And so the boy's uncle decided he would rule for the boy. And now Henry's gone, so there's no one to stop him. And the two sisters can't do anything about it. So his uncle happens to be Protestant. So Henry had decided to confiscate all the monasteries in England, and he made a bundle of money off of that. Now, kings were, at this time, starting to realize the importance of money. Government used to just govern, but now all of a sudden, governments are expensive. You know, you carry your family around and all your stuff and so on. It costs a lot of money. So he is running out of money. Thank God we don't have governments like this today. He was running out of money, so he decided, hey, wait, I got an idea. Churches. have you ever thought about that? That the IRS could become a collection agency against churches to get their money because the government doesn't have the money it wants and needs? So get it from the one place where it exists. You can only get so much from the business community, but the churches are loaded. And so now, Harvard has produced a whole slew of lawyers whose only job is to sue churches. They'll bring in a pedophile, stick him in the back, sue you. Pretty soon, you're broke. They've done it over and over again. And they are planning to do this wholesale. They will put plants in your church. They'll actually bring people in. A little church like this isn't worth too much, so we probably won't be the first in line. But they're going after the big ones. They want their money. You remember they went after, who is it? Oh, that lady. Joyce Meyer. She had 7 mansions. She's only got 1 now. Just went after her, said, here's the deal. Get rid of these mansions, and we'll take our cut. Otherwise, we're going to see to it you don't operate. Boom. Then they went after so-and-so. And those are all big money-making churches, so they're either going to yield or they're going to be, totally wiped out. That's all there's to it. So the government knows how to play rough. I'm telling you, this idea that Henry had was a good one, because apparently they're still following it today. So churches are more and more restricted by a growing government. Y'all see this? So it's no longer just interesting in history. It happens to be a pattern for what's happening in our own day. And the government doesn't have, can't print up enough money to debase its currency enough, so it will just go after where it can find it. Well, anyway, so Henry was getting his way finally. Edward is now king, and Edward rules for 6 years, but he was frail and sickly. So King Henry is followed by King Edward. King Edward the Sixth. Edward the Sixth. So, but he dies at 15. So after his death, wait a minute. Something interesting about him. Henry decided to go Protestant because he had to get rid of the Pope, and the Pope was just after him to, so, okay, well, I'll just get rid of you, and I'll get rid of the Emperor too. I'm going to be King of England, no Emperor over me. I'm going to be King of the Church, head of the Church, and no Pope over me. I want England to be important and powerful. So if I can just get these wives shaped up like this, he had 6 altogether, so this is just 3 of them. At any rate, King Edward was Protestant because his uncle was Protestant. And now the Protestant Reformation was producing things. First of all, they believe, one, the Word of God should be preached fully. So Word of God preached. That was important because that was how they learned the gospel, which the Catholics hadn't taught, that you could be saved by faith alone. Justified by faith. Saved by faith alone. You don't have to do any good works. Wahoo! So there's a good thing. They like that. So faith alone. No works. That was number one. Number two, administration of the sacraments. But instead of seven like the Catholics had, they just said there's only two because Jesus only mentioned baptism and the Lord's Supper. So those are the two that he instituted. So we're just going to have two. So that's in the Bible. And the Catholics, they went by tradition and they said, no, there's marriage and last rites and confirmation and so on and so forth. And the Lutherans said, no, they're not. So England followed, now that it was Protestant and the son was Protestant because the uncle was Protestant. And so now we're going to have the word preached so we keep the gospel going. We're going to administer the sacraments, just these two, baptize, that's how you get in, supper, that's how you stay in. And then number three, let's discipline people so that they're living a good life. But they were divided on that one. The first two, okay, because those are spiritual. Jesus set them up. But discipling people and getting all the sin out of their life, that is a little more difficult for English people. So English people didn't want to be so discipled. Some did, some didn't. But most of them didn't want to. They didn't want to come under the discipline or the authority of the church, ecclesia, the ecclesiastical power. So this, Henry wasn't over this part here. He said, I'm going to see to it that these two things are done. And then his son also picked up on that. And this one here is a good idea, but some of the hotheads want this to be a pure church. They're trying to get, you know, the pure church. I'm okay with it, but, you know, I don't know if you really can have such a thing, but let's get it. And then maybe love, charity. They called it charity. People should love one another. So that was kind of the, as England understood it, from a political point of view, these were the things that counted. These four, at least the two, and the other two they weren't sure about, but some insisted on it and others didn't. For example, the Puritans, they insisted that we don't want any papacy, no pope, in England, none, and no bishops either, none of those guys that are going to ruin us. Let's do it by the Bible. Well, the king wasn't, he wasn't interested in religion. He was just interested in having everything go the way he wanted politically. So politics dominated the English church, and to this day, it still dominates the English church. But these were part of the 39 articles that happened under King Edward VI. And up until just 2 months ago, these 39 articles characterized every Anglican in the world. But what happened just a few months ago was that the Anglican Church had a big argument in itself, and the American Anglican Church said, we want homosexuality to be allowed and a lot of other liberal ideas, and they took over, and the conservative ones, like right here in town, the conservative ones, had to then either go with the just 2%, small amount, with the American takeover, or they had to follow the Bible. So you have the purity issue again. And so the conservative churches here, like St. Andrew's, I'm sure broke off, but probably All Saints over here, didn't. So they lost, you know, half of their membership, or maybe even more. They lost a huge amount of members. So they're no longer part of the Anglican community. So the Anglican church worldwide is in a turmoil over these issues. Is homosexuality part of the gospel? Not according to the 39 articles. Well, fully on the 39 articles. So they're just taking over. And now there's a new head, and that's the way she wants it. And so that's the way it's going. So they're having trouble. It reminds me of the Baptists. They also had a problem a few years ago. Maybe about, we used to pray for the Baptists every week here. But they also said, you know, everybody should be moderate. And another group said, no, everybody should be conservative. And here in Fort Worth, The conservatives won, especially in the Southern Baptist Communion. And so, but pretty soon the moderates, like down at Baylor, the moderates, they wanted, you know, let's be loose and not so tight on the Bible. And no, no, we got to take it literally. So James Robison and, you know, Miles and so on, so are the people around here. They all argued, Jimmy Draper and so on. They all argued for the seminary being conservative. So Dilday, who was the previous leader, he got booted out, and they brought in another guy, Hemphill. And so they tried to have a spiritual revival here at Southern Baptist Seminary, and it didn't quite go, but they started it anyway. Anyway, these arguments go on in every church, Presbyterian, Lutheran, you know, Catholic, and so on. All churches are having troubles these days to figure out whether your theology can be maintained on the Bible or whether you can just do whatever you want to do. Is anyone here aware of what I'm talking about? Now, you'll notice Newsweek magazine a few weeks ago came out and said that America is no longer a Christian nation. It said something like this. The decline and fall of the Christian church in America. So, there you have it. So, we're out of business now, and that means Satan can take over, and Antichrist, and liberals, and so on and so forth. And sure enough, you know, it looks like that's where we're heading. Amen? Oh, I just laughed to myself. You know, there's only one problem. God. What if God doesn't want to have that? Poor God. You know, he's going to have to stop eating grapes upstairs. He's going to have to come downstairs, roll up his sleeves, and, you know, he's going to have to defend his ideas because his people down here are just falling apart. So you always have this peer group here that wants to be, you know, let's do it the Bible way. How many know it says in the Bible? He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Well, that's hardly the Anglican church. That's not even the Baptist church. That's not even our church. You know that there are people in this church that sin? I don't know if you're aware of that or not. If you'll just look to your left or to your right, you'll see somebody sinning. Did anybody spot one? So we're not yet a pure church. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I have an idea that God might win. I just have an idea that maybe the bad guys will not win and the good guys will win. Of course, we're the good guys. But then how good are we if we're not pure? Ah, but it's by faith alone. Ah, but is it? Shouldn't faith be active in love? Is he coming back for just a church that believes or a church that actually, truly, is a pure church? A church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Which kind of bride would you want if you were going to get married? You want one that has a few spots, you know, she's only been around a little bit, or you want one that's pure and spotless? Jesus is coming back, and he's really hung up on this thing. He wants a church, not just individuals, every man mature in Christ. So every one of you have to be mature. But not only that, the church itself should be pure, but not just one church, not just a local church, but actually all of those that belong to him. He's not going to accept. If you have one flaw, you're out. Isn't that amazing? So how do you do that? How do you do that? How do you do that? How do you get that? Isn't it by faith alone? What if it's by faith and works? But is it by faith and works, or is it just by faith? But what does that mean? And where's the Holy Spirit? And does he really bring power? Power to do what? Does he actually change you? So these are the things being wrestled. How many know these are wrestled right now to this day? Can you have a formal, external, just legalistic outward church, a visible church? Is that all God wants? When there's all kind of pedophilia going on and other kind of trashy things, the ministers are sleeping around and collecting money and stealing and whatnot. Is that really what God's church should be? No. So how do you get one of those pure churches? The way we do it is just tell the people that are not pure to stay. Stay home. And see, it's worked pretty good. We just about cleaned this place out. And all that's left is the pure. Praise God. Look around. This is exciting. We have no sinners left. Woohoo! Well, I might do a few. But other than that, everything's okay. So this is big. This is what the 16th century was arguing about. Can you really have a pure church? And King Henry didn't even argue about it. Just no. Yeah, forget that. Just I just want a church that won't get in my way. So that's all he wanted. A church that won't get in my way. I don't care if it's Catholic, I don't care if it's Protestant, I don't care if it's nothing. I'm going to make an Anglican English church, whether it's Catholic. I'll tell you what I'll do. So he came up with this solution. Let's have it Catholic in form. That'll please all the Catholics. But Protestant in theology. That'll please all the Protestants. And we will make a church that includes everybody. Let's say you're a Catholic. You come to the Anglican church and you can be a Catholic because you got the form. And that's all you're into anyway. And then the only thing I got rid of was the Pope, but I'll be your Pope, so don't worry about that. Now, the Protestants, they're into theology and all this kind of stuff as though people could understand anything. But yeah, let's give them that. They want these things about the Word of God and all this kind of stuff and two things. And okay, give them all that. Now, you can be a Baptist, but you're going to be an Anglican. You can be a Catholic, but you're going to be an Anglican. You can be anything you want to be, but you're going to be an Anglican. That's called latitudinarian. A lot of latitude for what you believe in your own heart, in your own soul, in your own conscience. That's yours. King Henry's not taking that from you. Be what you want to be, but you're an Anglican. So what he's saying is, the formal stuff belongs to me. The personal religious stuff is between you and God. You see that? Now, is that what the Bible says? Do not be conformed to this world. My kingdom is not of this world. So, can the king, who's of this world, set up the form of religion and then give you the spiritual side? So that, yeah, you can believe what you want. That's actually the Russian church. That actually is the IRS definition of what a church is. In other words, we're not arguing about any of your doctrines. We're just saying, don't ever do anything that violates the state. Did you hear that? LBJ. LBJ lost an election because he found the Christians didn't agree with his lifestyle and with some of the things he was doing. And so because of that, he decided to punish the Christians by saying, if you get a 501c3 benefit from the civil government, and you participate in politics, and you get involved in some race, you will lose your benefit. Well, so he threatened the church, and that's law today. That's law today. Y'all understand that? That's part of the IRS code also. And they check you out. Hey, this minister's preaching too much about politics, so let's put him in jail, fine him, whatever, but he's going to lose his status. He'll no longer have the benefits that the government offers. Isn't that interesting? Do y'all see this? This is real stuff. I'm telling you, it's not over with. The battle has just begun. The battle has just begun. Y'all don't see this. I just want you to understand, Newsweek puts it out, the IRS puts it out, LBJ puts it out. I'm telling you, it's the same stuff that happened back in the 16th century, then again in the 17th, the 18th, the 19th, the 20th, and now in the 21st century. Still haven't settled it. The biggest problem in law, the most delicate problem in law, is always the relationship of the church and the state. There are no other issues. This is the issue. So, it's always, what do you do with God? What do you do with God? Are we a Christian nation? Are we not a Christian nation? Are we a pagan nation? Are we a neutral nation? You know, and so it's always the toughie right there, is what do kings do with the church? Now, King Henry knew what to do. Take their monasteries, all their buildings, and all their lands, and fill up the coffers of the king. Clever. That was clever. Hey, who needs these fellows anyway? Monks, you know, used to be good for something or other, but we don't need them anymore. Just take all their property. And all the monks then were forced or killed to give up everything they had, and too bad if you like it or not. That's the law. So, does the state have a right to dominate the church? Or does the Pope's idea, the Pope gets to dominate the state, which one should win? They fought over these things. Should the Emperor be top? Should Henry be top? Should the Parliament be top? Should the people be top? Who should be top? Do y'all see this? Now, I'm not going to give you all the answers because I don't want to. I want to hang you on the edge because I want you to stay with me so that you see the interest of this. This is something God either has an answer for, or he doesn't. So here's the question. Does God care? Does God care? Does God care whether the next one after King Edward is Queen Mary? This is Queen Mary. Here's Edward came out of this one right here, but he was the youngest. 9 dies at 16. But here, the next one in line is Mary, so Queen Mary. They called her Bloody Mary. Bloody Mary. I don't know why kids can pick up the most interesting things. They don't hear a word you say, except when you say something that they shouldn't be listening to. They pick that up. What is a Bloody Mary? All right. Here's a Bloody Mary. A Bloody Mary is not a drink, although it's named after Bloody Mary, because it's red. A Bloody Mary is that she said, I want England, now that I'm queen, not to be Protestant. And I want it to be Catholic again. And not only that, because my mother was Catholic. And I'm mad at Henry for blowing her off. And I'm going to kill all the Protestants. And he began to kill off all the bishops and the archbishops and all these people that made up this stuff. So you had Ridley and you had Latimer and you had, you know, Cranmer, the Archbishop of Canterbury, and all this kind of stuff. And now all of a sudden Christians are being killed for their faith. And I remember there was one time when she, this is one of the bishops that she went after, Latimer and Ridley. And Latimer and Ridley, they were tied to the stake, about to be burned. And all of a sudden, Latimer looks over at Ridley and he says, Master Ridley, play the man. This is a big day. Don't be scared here. Play the man. Do you not know, Master Ridley, that today, even though the queen is killing us, she is going to light a fire, and that fire which she lights will enlighten all of England, and it will go back to Protestant. Woo-hoo. So he wasn't at all afraid. He was excited. And so they went up in flames, and they were just completely destroyed by Bloody Mary, who went after one after another, until she thought, you know, I'll just kill all the Protestants off. It's kind of like the lefts today trying to wipe out, destroy all the rightists, and the rightists trying to eliminate the leftists. You just can't do it. How many of America's divided down the middle? England was divided down the middle. There's no way you can solve these religious problems by force. And a lot of the moral problems today are religious problems, because behind all your morals are your religions. If you have no God, you don't have any morals either. Without God, there is no morals. Oh, the French thought there could be. The French Revolution, where they thought, we don't need God, let's get rid of God, we'll just have the goddess of reason, you know, just reason, man. And then we can have morality anyway. Well, that was where they killed all kinds of people. That's morality for you. And so what is morality? What is it, my behavior toward my fellow man, if I don't have God? So in the Bible, morality is always a fruit of religion. So religion and morality go together. But today, even America, the state wants to be neutral in all these things. Homosexuality is okay. They make it a law. It's a hate crime. You know, if you say something against so-and-so, trying to get it here in Texas. It isn't here yet. But at one time, the governor signed it. And we all fought against him and, you know, yelled at him and screamed at him and so on and so forth. But he went ahead anyway. But he lost. So he still haven't made it yet. But in other states, it's already a hate crime. Many states. It's U.S. So they are able to overthrow the Bible. They're able to overthrow God. That is, the king says, who cares about religion? Same thing's being said, whether you know it or not. It's just saying, you can believe all you want. That's just your interpretation. What do you mean my interpretation? That's the Bible. No, that's your interpretation of the Bible. We read it differently. So there you have it. You see? Do you all understand? It's big stuff. It's huge. The whole world is teetering on this issue. And here's the deal. Right now, we're losing. The bad guys are winning. Which team do you want to be on? You'll have to decide. As for me and my house, I've already decided. I'll die over this, for I'll yield. Well, what's going to happen? I'll die. That's it. Unless there's a God. Then God could roll up his sleeves, come down, and every once in a while, he monkeys with this world. He just gets himself, you know, like, I've had enough of that. And he'll just change it. Anybody aware of that? I'm going to tell you a story in a second, all about Queen Elizabeth. Because Bloody Mary only lived 5 years, killed as many Protestants as she could, and got worn out. And so she's dead. All of a sudden, Elizabeth. It's her turn. She was third in line. But because the others two didn't last very long, she finally got to be the head king. Well, queen. So she wasn't supposed to be. But I remember Anne, her mother said as she was being killed, I remember the day she was being killed, she said to Henry, just before she was killed, Henry said, you know, why don't you cooperate with me? Why don't you, you know, da 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 da. And she said, Henry, you know what? I'm never going to cooperate with you, but I'm going to tell you something. I gave you the best. And you think my little girl, little redheaded girl, you think my little girl is going to fail. I'll tell you something. You are nothing. You are nothing compared to this little girl. She's going to be a greater king than you ever were. And then he killed her. So this is great. So all of a sudden, she is the queen. And she not only is the queen, she was the greatest queen that England did ever have. Queen Elizabeth the First. Queen Elizabeth. Now, she had an idea. First of all, would she go Catholic like her sister, or would she go Protestant? Well, her mother was killed because of that issue, so she went Protestant. She said, you know, I don't want to have any more. Here's something that bothered Elizabeth as she's watching all this stuff. She's watching everybody get their head chopped off and everybody being burned at the stake, and she said, you know what? I don't think this is good for a country. How many know that it's not good for a country to have civil war like that or to have the government persecuting people for their faith and so on? She said, you know what? I'm not going to allow that. I will have a few deaths, but it's because I'm going to make it so broad that you can be anything you want to be, and we're not going to persecute you for it. This is called the Elizabethan settlement. So here's how we're going to settle it. You want to be Catholic? You be like my father. You be Anglican. You can be an Anglican Catholic. You want to be a Baptist? No problem. Keep that in your heart. Keep that inside yourself. But you're going to be a practicing Anglican. You want to be Puritan? You want to purify the church? Fine. But you're going to be an Anglican doing it. So she was like her dad. She just wanted everyone to be happy and not going to kill anybody for your faith. That's yours, whatever you want to believe. But you're going to go to church, and you're going to my church. That's called conformity. Here's what the Bible says. Be ye not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if God's kingdom is of this world, then Elizabeth can be king. And Henry can be king. And anybody can be king. But if God's kingdom is of this world, then it doesn't matter. But if it isn't, and Jesus said to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. Okay? So then does he have any authority in God's kingdom? Who's king in God's kingdom? Jesus. No king but Jesus. It was one of the great flags that the colonists waved when they fought the British. No king but Jesus. No King George, no king nobody. We got Jesus as our king. It's cute, but it's not a political statement, but that's what they meant it as. It's actually, you know, we're going to follow Jesus no matter what, in church or in state. So here's how it's set up. Here's how Queen Elizabeth understood it, because if I had a lot of time, I could read all this stuff for you. Let's say there's two swords or two realms. One is the church and the other is the state. Now, some people would make it so that they're tangential, and some would make it so that they're far apart. Others would make it so they just touch, and others would make it so they overlap, and others would make it so that they're the same thing altogether. So it's a big question is how much of the state, I'll put a sword here to show that it's a state. Here's the sword. How much of the state power under some kind of law should be involved in spiritual things? And how much, I'll put a little cross here, and I'll put a little Bible, how much of the church should be involved in secular things, in things of this world? Well, you remember what we just read. We just read that you do owe the king something, right? Didn't we read that? You do owe the king something, four things. Fear, honor, taxes, tribute. Those are the four things you owe. But listen carefully, because everybody could get mixed up on this. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. Who's that talking to? Who's that talking to? Who's that talking to? Let every soul. Now, is that every spirit? No. Is that everybody? No. But who's every soul? Is that pagans? Is that Christians? Who's in every soul? Now I'm going to ask another question, because I know you're very smart and you're quick on that. Is that every church? Is the church a soul? Is the church an individual soul? Let every individual soul, let every individual person, Christian and non-Christian, be subject to the higher powers. So you must pay fear. That means you're afraid of the wrath of God. You don't break the law, because otherwise the sword will come down on you. How many know that if you're a criminal in this church, if somebody gets up right now and shoots somebody, the government has the right to come in. They don't care if it's a church or not. They have a right to come in and prosecute you. They have a right to do something. And we don't teach otherwise, because the Bible just said, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. So that would mean that if this church did something wrong, not as a church, but as individuals in the church, they could come in and take the individuals in the church. Do you all see that? Now, the Catholic teaching was, no, if a priest or a member of a church does something wrong, the government can't touch them if they come in for sanctuary. Remember Les Miserables, where the guy ran in, you know? Or they also call that immunity. So if the priest kills somebody, then the church will take care of it. For example, when the pedophilia came up a few years ago, the Catholic Pope said, we'll handle it. We'll take care of that crime, whether it's murder, whether it's rape, whether it's pedophilia, whatever the crime is, the church will take care of it. But the scripture says, let every soul be subject. So, if the guy's a priest, does that mean he's subject to the Pope, but not to the state? Well, the Reformation said clearly, we follow Romans 13, what I just read. So, there could be some areas where the state could impact the church, but never qua church. Never insofar as it's church. So, the biblical teaching is not this one here at all, where the king has certain sacred duties, and the church has certain secular duties. Boy, I'm just saying something so powerful here. I wish I had a... there. Now, what if these can't touch? What if they can't touch at all? What if they're totally separate, like the Bible says? Now, there's a separation. There's a wall between them that's impenetrable. This is the issue of our day. The biggest issue in Russia, the biggest issue in India, the biggest issue in Saudi Arabia, it's the biggest issue in America. Now, how close can the state get? Can it touch it? Can it just kiss, but not actually go to bed with? Or can it actually penetrate? Can it actually go all the way in? So, it's a big issue. Well, in the English church, not only did King Henry say, I'll give you the spiritual side. So this is the spiritual side of the church. The spirituals I'm not going to mess with. I won't mess with the Word of God, preach what you want. I won't mess with the baptism, Lord's Supper, believe what you want, do what you want. I'm not sure about this one, but you can have that one too. And love, yeah, that's okay. So I'll give you all that as long as it's spiritual. But the form of religion, I'm going to insist upon. You have to be Anglican. And it has to have the Catholic forms. You just can't come up with your own Baptist thing or meet in a house or come up with your own stuff because you find it in the Bible. Because maybe you're wrong on your interpretation. So we're going to go by the head of the church, which is me. So he actually had a lot of influence on the church. And he said, in forms, I'm the Lord. But in substance, the Lord is. How many know that the Bible says, having the form of religion but denying the power of it? So, can King Henry do that? Does he have a right to do it? Well, many say he can. Others said he can't. So, you see, these issues are alive and well today. And I'm just rehearsing them because there's nothing new under the sun. Same old stuff. So, it'd be helpful to look and see what was done in the past and why no one today is in line with the Scripture. Not one church. None. So, does the civil power have the right to come and play God and replace Jesus as head of the church? So, here's the civil power over here, and here's the religious power over here. Is Jesus the head of the church, or does Jesus share it with Caesar? Here's what Jesus said, render to Caesar what's Caesar, render to God what's God's. Well, is the whole church God's, even though you individually may not be? Ah, that's a question. How about an individual member of a church? Let's say there are many churches. Church, 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 church. We're one of those churches right there. Here's a church, here's a church. But let's say as an individual inside that church, individuals in those churches, all right? Maybe you commit murder, you're subject to the civil power. Romans 13:1 said so. But the church itself is not subject. It doesn't say, let every church be subject. It said, let every soul. So, you could never say that the church belongs to this world. My kingdom is not of this world. So, if it's not, it's not, it's not. So, is it or isn't it? Is Jesus the head of his church? Is this his girl? Does he say, you can sleep with her a little bit, or you can hold hands with her or kiss her, or whatever? No. He says, it's mine. And I'm coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Well, that's pretty rigid. How many know Jesus is real rigid about that? He don't want anyone messing with his girl. And he's going to come back and roll up his sleeves even before it happens. He's going to send something because he doesn't like to be messed with. And he doesn't want anyone touching his girlfriend. How many know he's not going, well, it's okay. I'll just let her be raped a few times, but I won't notice. No, he's not going to allow it ever. He will come down. The problem today in the church is there's too much sin in the church. Therefore, he doesn't recognize it as his bride. The problem today is he can't say to an unholy church that isn't repenting. Now, you could commit a sin, you just can't stay in the sin. How many know God will forgive any sin? But you're not to make provision for the sin and go, yeah, it's okay. So that was the issue they were all arguing about. Now, Queen Elizabeth didn't want to get into any of that. What she wanted to do was have England be a commercial power in the world, and England to be a strong political power at home. So, big trader, build more ships. Now, the Pope decided, after Bloody Mary was killed and Elizabeth went Protestant, I will raise up the Jesuits, who had just been created, and I will destroy Queen Elizabeth. So he said to Philip II, who was king of Spain, you send ships across the sea, take England back for the Catholic Pope. So, this was vengeance now after Mary, who was his first wife, Catherine's daughter. She was from Spain. So now, because Bloody Mary was bloodied, and Elizabeth now had to eliminate another relative who also was called Mary, Queen of Scots. Different Mary. If Mary, Queen of Scots, who was Catholic, up in Scotland, and John Knox was fighting with her up in Scotland. If that Mary should have a moment, because now Scotland and England were joined, and Elizabeth now, if somebody overthrew her, Mary, Queen of Scots, would be queen, and the Catholics would be back in charge. So Philip II sent over, I mean, the biggest armada, 1588, biggest armada, to conquer all of England. So all of England was astir. Will we lose the gospel now? Will it all fall back into works instead of faith? Will we lose all the purity of the church and love and so on? Are we going to lose all of that? Elizabeth is our only hope. Oh, my gosh. So they sent this big ships. You could just look out. There were just tons of them. And England only had a few little frigates and, you know, a few little ships. So it looked like England was going to lose. And I mean, the queen went to her people, even her Catholic people, and said, look, I've let you stay. You know, I'm nice to you. You just have to be Anglican, but you still be Catholic. You just can't have the Pope and all that. But hey, isn't it a good deal? You're making money here. You're doing well. And they sided with Elizabeth against the Catholic takeover. It's very interesting. What happened? The ships came across, and the next morning they were going to take over, but in the night a storm came up, a big storm. How many know God is the God of storms? God can create a storm whenever he wants to. How many know that God knows how to create a storm in your life personally? How many know that he's doing it right now in America? He's creating storms. It's okay. It's okay. That which is shakable will be shaken, but if you're unshakable because you're on a rock, you will not be moved during a storm. And if God has to, he will send the storm and he will stop the storm. So, Elizabeth was sitting there waiting to be taken over. She sent out a few ships, go. But they were nervous because Philip had arranged the biggest fleet ever since the days of Persia when they tried to take over the Greeks. Same thing happened. Big storm. All of a sudden, the Spanish ships were not only lost at sea, sunk, all kinds of things. That storm was devastating to them. The Protestant ships came after them, the English ships, and they overtook them and destroyed most of the fleet. That was the end of Spanish power. Spanish power would have taken over America. It would have taken over this place. We'd all be Catholic. Columbus sailed the blue, 1492. Now the time had come. We would be a different people today, except that Queen Elizabeth sat on the throne because of Henry's craziness. But because of Henry's craziness, how many know God can use crazy people? If he can talk to a donkey, he could talk to you. Amen? And if God wants to win, he knows how to win. Now, Elizabeth thought that was God acting on her behalf, but she wasn't interested in religion. She was only interested in the throne. And she wanted to make a lot of money and be powerful at home. And any religion that would help her out, that was the religion she wanted. So she thought, that was God that helped me out. What do you think? Do you think God can act in history? Do you think God can interrupt presidential elections? Do you think God can turn a nation to himself if he wants to? Do you think God can judge his bride if he wants to? Or he can let her go? The whole issue is you. Does God, every individual, owes to Caesar certain things, but you have to render to God certain things? What have you given to Caesar? Most people pay taxes, but not all. But most people do pay taxes. And most people give some kind of reverence or fear to Caesar. I do. I actually think, you know, that whoever is the president, I don't care who he is. I don't care what he believes. Whatever his policies are, he is the president. Do you understand that? He's the president. I may criticize his policy, but I'm going to still respect the office that he's in. I'm going to honor that office, no matter who's in it. And by the way, you can only do so much. Maybe God can limit you. I mean, if you don't want to be limited, that doesn't mean you won't be, because I'll tell you something. If you run into God's program, you're going to be limited. Same thing in the church. I don't blame the government at all for the trouble we're in. I blame the churches. It's not the government taking over. It's the church not being pure. One of the reasons Henry could get away with that was because the church itself had compromised long ago. The church itself was not following the gospel. Henry didn't care. All he wanted was his ambition. But he didn't make the thing possible. The church did. The church in England was not, and it isn't to this day, a pure church. Well, the Puritans tried. I'll go on to this next week. The Puritans tried to purify the Anglican church, but many said, you can't purify a dead church. You can't resurrect something that is still, you know, polluted and corrupted. You can't get rid of the sin. How many know that it's hard to get rid of the sin in your own life, let alone a whole church? I mean, if just one of you would get rid of all the sin in your life, be a miracle. Be a miracle. I wish you'd all be like me. Well, it's sad to say you are. That's sad to say. That's sad. That's sad. You're all just like me. Well, that's a problem for God, because God has a little program. And how many know God, when God has a program, he always wins. He's just a sore loser. He loves winning. And he just never likes to let the bad guy win. So even as Philip was destroyed with all of his ambition and all the papal power and everything else going for him, England survived. Not only that, England prospered. Not only that, England was, they were blessed beyond measure. She did become very wealthy, very powerful, and even to this day. Did you know they own much of America today? Not Spain, although the Spanish are trying to take over a highway system, but, you know, even so. But, you know, actually, you know, we're being invaded. Did you know that? But you know what the problem is? Seek first the kingdom of God, I'll give you everything else. What if you don't seek first the kingdom of God? You'll lose everything. So why are you blaming somebody else? It isn't some bad guy out there, it's us. If you really think this is valuable, fight for it. If you don't, then let it go. But God is not going to defend something that's not his. If you have the name of being Christian, but in fact you're not, he's not going to defend you. But if in fact you want to please him because it's good news, otherwise just lose the stuff. Who cares? Let it go back to what it was. Let it go back to slavery. Let it go back to works. Let it go back to pressure. Because I'm going to tell you something. You're either going to serve God or you're going to serve the devil. You're either going to serve God or you're going to serve the devil. You're either going to serve God willingly or you're going to serve the devil unwillingly. Because there's no middle ground. God plays a rough game. And God is saying, I don't want anyone to come into my bride unless you want to come. Do you want to be pure, or do you want to see if you can get away with murder? How many would like to have it both ways? A little bit of this, a little bit of the world, a little bit of God, a little bit, not too much, just a little bit. That was Queen Elizabeth's deal, because she was honest about it. I don't really care about religion that much. You know, especially that Catholic thing, but I don't like the Protestant thing either. I don't like any of it. Well, there was another group of Puritans who said, you can't purify the church. The only thing you can do is separate. Those are called pilgrims. 1620, they left Holland, then left England, and came to America, and they set up Plymouth. And that's how America started. Do you understand that? They didn't believe you could purify the Anglican Church, and nobody has to this day. They've already split. They didn't think you could purify the Catholic Church. They didn't think you could purify any church. They were just concerned themselves, will we preach the gospel? Will we administrate the sacraments properly? Will we discipline our members? And will we show love? That is holy doctrine, pure doctrine, holy life, and a free church. Well, they didn't believe in a free church. Interestingly enough, as soon as people decide to do this, they want to kill off all the guys that don't agree with it. If you were a Baptist, for example, cut your nose off. If you were a Quaker, cut your ear off. They didn't really believe that anyone else could be right except them. How many know that some churches think they're right? Some churches think they're right. But we are. So how can you win that one, you see? So let God decide. Only God knows who's truly His. You cannot figure it out. I'll never know who's truly a Christian. Some of you people look so Christian, but I suspect you might be abominable if you just, you know, if you could just look behind the scenes. I'm looking around right now to check and see if I'm right on that. You know, you can't tell. Only God knows the heart. Only God knows the heart. How important is it to you? I once was a pagan, totally in love with pagan. I loved pagan. I wanted to be a pagan. I wanted to live my own life the way I wanted. One of the things I was always afraid of when I heard about Christianity was, if I ever fell in love with Jesus, He'd probably force me to love my wife, Peggy. I didn't want to love her. I did not. I knew she just would abuse me and use me. Carlos, watch out. You need to be careful of this. She'd want to control me and dominate me and make me stay home and, you know, all kinds of things. Make me earn money. Just, you know, because Peggy looks real sweet, but she's not. She's a control freak. She wants everything to go her way. She's always telling me about, you know, well, I want one of these. Well, I don't count that as a high I want it. So, you see how belligerent she is? You all see that? And so I knew if I became a Christian, God might just make me love her as she is. I hated that idea. I didn't want to become a Christian for that very idea. Because women can be atrocious, not just men. Men are not the only tyrants. Let's hear it from the men. Women can be control freaks, you know, because they don't want their man to just be free. They want him to be theirs. Y'all are not laughing. Okay. Anyway, I'm glad God was right. God was able to take this stubborn person, this selfish person, and break him and say, Jim, your interest is take care of Peggy and you'll be blessed. I know. I don't want to. Don't worry. I will help you get there.
How?
I'll just kill you.
What?
Yeah, I'll just kill you. So you won't have a self anymore. I will take away your self. How many husbands here have no self? If you have a self, you won't make a good marriage. You can't have your own interests. Your interest has to be that your wife prospers. Amen? Well, you know what? That's actually a good thing. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. If I take care of Peggy, I'll be blessed. Not because Peggy blesses me, but because God will bless me for being obedient. Do y'all see that? Do y'all see that? That death of the self is not the same thing as believing in Jesus. That's actually sanctification, not just justification. I know Jesus died for me, but he also wants me to die from me so that I no longer care about me, care about you and enemies and neighbors and so on. I tell you what, it'd be the death of my soul. So that's what God says. Good. I will kill yourself. The issue is you won't hear this in the world. You got to get this from the true church. And God is going to defend his body to the death. God will see to it that he has a pure church, a spotless bride. How many are going to be part of that church? Yeah. It's not something you can do. It's something he does. Now, you'll do it, but it won't be you when you do it. You'll know it was him. You'll work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, but you'll know what? When it happens, you'll know it wasn't me working it out. It was actually the zeal of the Lord of hosts doing it. This word that I'm speaking to you actually breaks you down. The word, the truth, will set you free so that you're no longer a king, a god, a queen, a controller. You actually can let go and let God. Let go. Let God. I mean, you can't force your way. King Henry couldn't do it. Anne Boleyn couldn't do it. Elizabeth couldn't do it. No one's going to do it. God's going to have his way. He will have a pure church. So this whole idea of how the church and state should be related to each other is God's thing. So the only thing is, what is his idea? Some say this, some say that, some say this, some say that. What do you think? Whatever you think is going to make a difference. It's going to have a huge consequence on this world. Now I'm going to say something else. I believe we live in the last of the last of the last days, just before the Lord returns. In other words, I believe it's close. I also believe that this area, Dallas-Fort Worth, is a powerful spiritual area, more than Kentucky or some other place. I believe that America plays a dominant role in the world. And whether we go down or stay up depends on what happens not only in the United States, but what happens in Texas. I believe Texas plays an inordinate role in what's going on socially, politically, economically, and spiritually. If we go one way, so the United States will go that way. I don't know, you may not know what I'm talking about. But what if Montana does something, it doesn't have a huge impact on America. If Arizona does it, it's not going to have a huge impact. What California does can't have a huge impact because it's already done it. Whatever it was going to do, it done. It did it. And the same with New York. This is the only place. Only place. If America falls, there's no hope anywhere else. I'll tell you right now, it's over. So there are many enemies seeking to destroy America and particularly hate Texas. They think we're proud and arrogant and so on. I don't know where they get that idea. That is so stupid. What is wrong with those nincompoops? We're not proud, arrogant. But, you know, God has his way and his means committee. He can use yokels like us. He can use anybody he wants. He can change history by a simple storm. I mean, you know that some of the storms, I'm not saying God created them. I'm just simply saying God can do it. Whenever he wants to, don't mess with him. Don't mess with Texas. Don't mess with God. Why? Because God's going to do what he wants to do. I believe God was actually active in King Henry VIII. I believe God used that wife thing and that son thing to get finally to Elizabeth. Following Elizabeth would be King James. He's the one that will do the King James Bible. At that same time is when the Puritans were trying to fight for the English church. They never got it. And we're going to look into that. But also, the Pilgrims, who were the separatists, they broke away, a handful of people, but they actually shaped America more than any other people in England. And we'll go into that story later. I'm not going to go into Roger Williams because I've done that before and I made a lot of great messages already on that. But I am going to go into the Commonwealth next time. I want to show you how the English Commonwealth, which killed off one of the kings, that was a Puritan thing. But it was much more than a Puritan thing. It was also all the independents, all the Baptists, all the so-and-so, all the people that Elizabeth wouldn't tolerate. Those are called nonconformists or dissenters who have their own opinion, their own idea based on the Bible, on the Word of God. And they were out because they weren't Anglican. But the Anglican church today has fallen. And the Baptist church is in big trouble. And the Presbyterians and the Methodists. Did you know that most churches are in big trouble today? Are you aware of that? And I'll tell you something else. The young people today, so many of the young people have no religion at all. They're into the internet and the YouTube and all this kind of stuff. But they're into witchcraft. They don't even know about Jesus. They're into another world. They just go by sound bites and, you know, music, rap, whatever. They just go by little sound bites. They don't have any ability to think because the school system has dumbed them down. Now, what can God do when he's outvoted and when he's outshipped and he's out whatever? That doesn't bother God at all. How many know that God sits in the heavens and laughs? When he sees man rising up and man pretending like he knows what he's doing, God is able just to blow him away if he wanted to. But he won't. He'll let man have his day and then he'll come in and do what he wants to do. God will never be defeated. God is indefeasible and indestructible, and his church cannot fail. And he will have a bride without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing. And he will have every man mature in Christ. Is that you? Do you have that goal for yourself? I don't want to just be a Christian. I want to be mature in Christ. Not just justified, sanctified, glorified. I want to go all the way until I'm like Christ in every way. How many have that as your goal? Now, the problem is you can't pull that off. I'll just tell you right now, you cannot pull that off. You cannot make that happen. You find in you some kind of resistance. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I don't know where it comes from. Just kind of resistance. The Bible calls it sin or flesh or something like that. But whatever it is, the world and the flesh and the devil are fighting against you like all their ships are out there. Some storm needs to happen to wake you up and realize God won't give you up. The good work that he began in you, he will certainly complete, finish, accomplish at the day of Jesus Christ. So you'll make it. You're going to make it. So gripe all you want, complain all you want, do what you want. You're still going to lose to God. The only question is whether it's voluntary or involuntary. But you're not going to upset God's program. The best is yet to come. You are beloved of God. Say it, I am beloved of God. And I will serve him. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is not just Savior. He is the Lord. And he's going to have a church without spot. He's going to have his way. And you're going to be part of it. Amen? Woohoo! The best. Father God, we just give you praise and glory for Queen Elizabeth, King Henry VIII, Edward VI, Bloody Mary, they all play a role. Everybody on the face of this earth plays a role. But I thank you, Lord God, we can see it in some situations more clearly than in others, how you are arranging and rearranging the world right now for your purpose. Israel is in the picture. The Muslims are in the picture. Everything is being brought together to a big war, a big battle. A big decision. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Will we serve Baal or will we serve the living God? Will we follow Jesus or will we serve the Antichrist? Will we go this way or will we go that way? I thank you, Lord God. No matter what others may do, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. 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 And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. Just lift up his head. Just gaze right on you and give you his peace. In other words, he's happy with you. He's pleased with you. He's not angry at you. Just surrender to him in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen and amen. It's not over with yet. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Don't be scared. Be excited. Woohoo!